This is Lesaire Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. What we do is good will, He abides with us still.
If we believe in the true and living God, the God who presents Himself by describing His power, greatness, and glory in His Word, then we know indeed that nothing is too hard for Him. And yet sometimes in the midst of our difficulties, if our prayers are not immediately heard, we begin to wonder, is God going to respond to me in these trying times? And so we began a message today entitled, Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? Encouraging us to know that we can trust in our God who is sovereign and rules and reigns no matter what our situation may be. The Lord gave a promise or made a covenant with Abraham, telling him that of his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Time passed, and a child was not born. Sarah was not able to give birth. So in their impatience, Sarah suggested that Abraham would take her handmaid Hagar. And as a result, Ishmael was born. This was an effort to help God out. They decided since nothing had happened, there was no child born, God had made this promise, so what must we do? We'll make these arrangements and surely God will bless this son. Let me tell you, any time we get the idea we've got to help God out, that He's just not able to accomplish what He might have promised or what we think is best, we're going to get into trouble. And so, as time passed, The angel of the Lord, that we believe to be the Lord himself, visited Abraham and Sarah and said, now the time has come. Sarah is going to have a child. This son of promise is going to be born. Sarah laughed. Now, she later denied it, so it might have been that it was a bit of a snicker that she was trying to suppress, but the Lord, knowing what was in her heart, confronted her with the fact, yes, Sarah, you did laugh. She laughed as though this was an absolute impossibility. How could a woman of her age give birth to a child? And in Genesis chapter 18, the 14th verse, the Lord posed this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We love the truth that God is omnipotent and nothing is too hard for him. We love to sing that truth. We sing hymn number 430 in our old school hymnal. We sing the greatness of our God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. We sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. Wonderful hymn, speaking of the greatness, glory, and power of our God. And then in number 157, verse 3, who holds all things within his hands? Who owns all houses, fields, and lands? Who keeps our souls each passing hour? No man has this almighty power. It is the Lord and he alone. Man has no glory of his own. We have no greatness we can claim, so let us publish his great name. Now, though we declare our love for this truth, sometimes in daily living, we lose sight of it. We forget what we declare to believe. We need to be reminded. That's one of the benefits of singing these truths, to remind ourselves over and over again of the greatness and glory and majesty of the Lord God that we worship. And we need to be reminded of it as we look at his word. God's greatness is repeatedly declared. Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Can we not all say amen to that declaration? He has done great things for us. He has sustained us in difficult times. He has provided for us. He has given us hope and courage and faith. He has done great things for us. Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Great is the Lord. Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. So here is a clear declaration of his absolute sovereignty. God is not frustrated, is not defeated, is not disappointed. He rules and reigns on high. He has done whatever he has pleased. He has accomplished his purposes. And then we look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, beginning with the 23rd verse. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring forth an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Praise him, honoring him, acknowledging his great purposes, his amazing mercies that are showered upon us on a daily basis. And then we come to the New Testament. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35. This is the angel appearing to Mary. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Oh, how this confirms what we've just read in the book of Genesis. The implication when the question is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's obvious that it is not. And here the Lord, in bringing this message to Mary, that she's going to bring forth a son, though she is a virgin, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Then we look at the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 25. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." A truth we need to have constantly in our minds and upon our heart. With God all things are possible. And finally, we look at the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a multitude and the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The God that we worship is the God who has all power, who rules and reigns according to his sovereign pleasure. Nothing too hard for our sovereign God. No promise too hard for him to keep. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the apostle writes, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." I am in hope of this salvation. It is sure because God promised it, and the fact is God cannot lie. So you can mark it down. When God makes a promise, it's as good as done. You don't have to question it. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to try to squeeze around the side and say, "Well, I know that's what it says, but it doesn't really apply in my case." When God makes a promise, it's a promise you can absolutely depend on, no matter what the circumstances might be that you encounter. In hope of eternal life. That's where I'm resting my case. I'm trusting in this God, who is a God of grace and mercy. He promised this salvation before the world began. It's sure. He cannot lie. And whatever the promise that you may turn to today, oh, the Bible is so full of rich and meaningful promises to sustain us in all of our challenges and difficulties in life. He has promised, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," that you may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. And I'm not going to fear what man might do to me." You can claim that today. He says, "I will not forsake you." God cannot lie. So the fact is, he will never forsake you. No promise too hard for him to keep. No prayer too hard for him to answer. Matthew chapter 21, the 22nd verse. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." You might think about some things today that seem next to impossible. some burdens that you're carrying, some situations that you face. Say, oh, how I would love to see that situation rectified. How I would love to see that person conquered by the grace of God, their life turned around. How I would love to see that person who has never made a profession of faith and gives no evidence even of being interested in salvation, that God would break their hearts and bring them to repentance and faith. It seems like an impossibility. But oh, how good to know that nothing is impossible with our God. That we are to continue to pray, and according to the lesson Jesus gave regarding the woman who came to the unjust judge and repeatedly made her request, he says, this lesson is set forth that you might not faint as you pray, that you don't give up, you don't become discouraged. You continue to seek this God who is able to do for you great and mighty things. No prayer too hard for him to answer. I love that passage where he says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Things beyond what you can imagine. Things beyond what you have asked for. He's able to do great things, mighty things. But he says, call. Call unto me. Call unto me in faith. Call unto me believing. You're calling to this God who is omnipotent, who has all power, who is not at all hindered. Therefore, you can have great expectation about what he is able to do. No problem too hard for him to solve. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You may say, well, that sounds good. I realize you're reading from the Bible. And I believe the Bible, but I'm also realistic. And I'm looking at a situation that seems hopeless. I'm looking at a problem and I don't see an answer. But this says, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you've been born of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is in you. And according to that power that works in us, he's able to do far beyond what you can imagine. If you look at a situation and say, I give up. There's no need to pray anymore. I've prayed, and nothing has ever happened. And you're losing sight of the greatness of the God we're talking about. This God who has done great things for his people and to the glory and honor of his name. No problem too hard for him to solve. That ought to give you courage and hope to come before him continually. Lord, I come acknowledging my weakness. I don't want to be guilty of trying to step in and help God out. I do want to be faithful in doing what he has required. You sang the hymn a moment ago, trust and obey. We're to trust him, but if he has commanded us to do something, we're to be obedient to do what he says to do. But as we move forward, trusting him, obeying him, surrendering to him, submitting to him, doing what his word says, we look to him to do beyond what we're able to accomplish in our own strength. No problem too hard for God to solve. And no work too hard for him to finish. Any work that he embarks upon, he will finish. He never has to back off as though this task was too great. Obstacles have arisen that I had not anticipated. Not only is our God omnipotent, he is omniscient. He knows all things. And so he's never surprised. There's never some problem that springs up that he had not anticipated. God determined before the foundation of the world to save a people, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us according to the counsel of his will, to the praise and glory of his name. That was God's purpose before time began. He said, I'm going to have a people. He made choice of them. He gave them to his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus agreed to come in the fullness of time and go to the cross and pay the price that was necessary for their redemption. He was born of the Virgin. He lived here for those 33 years, and during the years of his ministry, the Pharisees were constantly criticizing, seeking to entrap him by some hard question, challenging him at every turn, being so brazen as to say that the very miracles he performed was by the power of Beelzebub. Finally, the day came that this hatred had reached such a peak that they arrested him. They took him to the cross. They nailed him there. And here is Jesus that came on a mission, came to execute the Father's will. Now he's going to die. Matthew chapter 1 and the 21st verse says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. That's why he was given the name Jesus. It means Savior. He shall. Not try to, not hope so, might. No, he said, he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now these disciples, seeing their master nailed to the cross, are grief-stricken. Jesus had informed them that he was going to the cross, but they just couldn't grasp it. They just could not see that this one that they loved so dearly would die such a horrible death. Now here he is, nailed to the cross. They're mocking him. If you be the Christ, come down from the cross, demonstrate it, prove yourself. But he stayed there. Why? Because he had come to die. That's what the prophecy of the Old Testament had indicated. He had come to lay down his life for the sheep. And so he remained there on the cross in spite of all of the ridicule. It looked like defeat. Finally, his enemies have conquered him. He died. They felt it was all over. Oh, but before his death, he uttered these words, it is finished. He had finished the work. Every part of it, every detail of it, everything that was necessary for him to accomplish, everything that he should have said, everything that he should have done, everything that was necessary at the cross, he had done it. It is finished. And then, after he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, he arose, proving that he was victorious over death itself. And 40 days later, ascended back to glory, where he's seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. No work too hard for him to finish. That was indeed a work that could not be accomplished by human effort. How could it be that a holy God who hates sin could reach down and love and save wretched fallen sinners? Only because of the death of Jesus Christ, that justice was satisfied, but mercy could now be bestowed because the price was paid that sinners could never pay themselves. The work of redemption then was complete. Jesus declaring, it is finished. And then the work of calling to draw an individual to come to Jesus Christ. By nature, man is resistant, stubborn, rebellious. As a matter of fact, he's alienated from God, dead in trespasses and in sin. But the psalmist says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And so the Spirit of God moves upon one, opening his eyes to see his sin, convicting him of his guilt, blessing him then to see that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, that he went to the cross to redeem sinners, and it's only through his shed blood that guilty souls can have salvation. He draws them, and they are now willing. He makes them willing. Some seem to suggest that if you believe that, you've got people who really didn't want salvation and they're upset about it. Friends, let me tell you, when he makes you willing, you just thrill to death that you have it. You're not saying, I wish I could get rid of this salvation. You just thank God for it. You praise him for it. So he makes them willing in the day of his power. And then when he has drawn them and brought them, there's still a pathway to be followed. Days of travel here on this earth. These who have been born of his Holy Spirit have a new nature, but the old nature's still there. So there's a conflict. Even the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Times of faltering and failing. What's going to become of them? Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." The Lord has never undertaken a work and then had to cut it short. The one who started this work, the one who accomplished redemption at the cross, the one who has drawn you by his power, the one who has given you life, he will perform it. He will keep going with it until the day of Jesus Christ.
If the messages you hear on this broadcast are a blessing to you and you would like for us to continue on the air, we would certainly appreciate your support. You can write us at Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.